Good morning, everybody. I've got a number of notices, so I'll try and deal with them fairly quickly. Sad to say that Margaret Townsend has died, and please, our prayers are asked for Jane. Please sign gift cards, which Trudy is going to take on our behalf to Korea as she visits there this week. So the cards are there. Please remember them and sign them so that they come from a number of our members. Two important dates to add to your diaries. First, Saturday the 27th of July, from 3 to 5 p.m., will be KURC's first Games from Around the World, an afternoon of international fun for young and old, and it's here. Please come, and if possible, bring an international snack to share. Any game suggestion, please, to Vaughan, who will organise the event. And another date you'll want to know, on Saturday the 7th of September, there is KURC's day out at the seaside. And more details about buckets and spades and other things like that to come shortly. The only fixed event from that is a scheduled meal of fish and chips. I'm very happy to announce, on behalf of Finlay and Georgina, that Katrina, their daughter, got a first in microbiology. This week, on Wednesday, there is a concert by the K3A Orchestra, which rehearses here in the church. And that will be attended by 30 7 and 8-year-olds who hopefully will sit in the front and be astonished at the noise made by the orchestra. That's at 11:15 on Wednesday. Everybody's welcome. There's no charge for it. But if you're able to come, do try and get here early, because I think with 30 7 or 8-year-olds, we might be fairly full. And on the following day, there is a piano recital given by Catherine Leonard, and some of the details have been on the screen, and that's at 12:30 on Thursday. And my last notice is that Margaret Randall is now at home and will welcome visitors. So Margaret's at home, and if you're able to call, do come. And Ray, you have some information for us.
Christian Aid. Remember, we had that in May, Christian Aid Week, and I've got the final totals in eventually. It's all been banked, and I'm very pleased to say, and for all those people that helped. A record £7,000. So thank you for everybody who participated. A huge increase on last year. Thank you very much, and you know it goes to a great cause. Thank you.
And thanks, Ray, for masterminding the whole operation, because it made it possible, and it's justified by a great result.
We join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. We praise you, Lord our God, for your great strength. We will sing and we will praise your power. Come, let us join our cheerful songs. We join to sing. We join together to say the psalm. O Lord, don't stay away from me. Come quickly to my rescue. Save me from the sword. Save my life from these dogs. Rescue me from these lions. I am helpless before these wild bulls. I will tell my people what you have done. I will praise you in their assembly. Praise God, you servants of the Lord. Honor God, you descendants of Jacob. Worship God, you people of Israel. God does not neglect the poor or ignore their suffering. God does not turn away from them, but answers when they call for help. In the full assembly, I will praise you for what you have done. In the presence of those who worship you, I will offer the sacrifices I promised. The poor will eat as much as they want. Those who come to the Lord will praise God. May they prosper forever. All nations will remember the Lord. From every part of the world, they will turn to God. All races will worship God. The Lord is King. God rules the nations. Have a seat. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bring our gratitude, our praise, and our thanks. For you have made one out of many. We come with one heart, clothed in longing to know you better, with one mind searching to discern our place within it all, and with one desire to seek out your love. And we come as one community, united in your name. We are a motley crew of your people. We are so different from one another, and yet, as one, we worship you. And as one, each of us individually is precious in your sight. God, our guide, forgive us when we forget that truth. Forgive us when we dismiss your teaching and hang on to the words of the world. Forgive us when we betray our baptism and turn our allegiance to false gods. Forgive us, loving God, and reclothe us in your grace, your love. Reclothe us in wholeness of mind and body. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. So we're just going to introduce the theme today. And first off, I think I need a volunteer. And it's probably best so everybody can see it that it's one of the larger people. So any tall person? Bethany, come on up. Thank you, Bethany. So, an introduction to how we come to church, what we do in church, and how we bring ourselves to church. So, when do we come to church? Are we clothed as Bethany? Or must we have ties on and smarten ourselves up?
Point taken.
Oops. Must we wear our good jewellery to show that we're important and we have money? Must we put on our finest clothes? Not the ones we wear Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday. This has got nothing to do with what we're talking about, by the way. Or do we even dress ourselves up more with a wig so we stand out and everybody sees us? Is that how we come to church? Or do we take all these things away? Hold on tight. That's it. Brilliant. Do we take all those and come as we are, clothed in Christ? And I think that's what we're going to be discussing and thinking on later on in the service. Thank you.
We join together to sing, I Am a New Creation.
Thank you.
That's woken you up, eh? Woohoo! Two readings. The first that Ken Bartlett will read to us from the letter to the Galatians. The writer, usually think of it as Paul, is in the middle of a long Bible study, but gets to this, which we would call as the punchline, that we are all equal members of a new community where the world's distinctions between people no longer have any weight, which is such an immense challenge, but it's true. Ken Bartlett will read this to us.
We're considering whether we should replace the Bibles in the pews with either the same version or a different version. We have an opportunity of trying a different translation. And we're looking at one or two translations, and a number of us will be considering those. This that I'm reading today is coming from the New Revised Standard Version. It's a good test because this is a difficult passage. So Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith should be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many as you were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Olive, which translation are you reading from? Good News. Okay, then I need to give this passage, I would say, is the place where the Good News Bible is at its weakest. The man who is outside of the community is to be known among us as, whatever the Good News says, as Legion. Olive Springham will read this passage to us.
This is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Jesus heals a man with demons. Jesus and his disciples sailed on over to the territory of Gerasa, which is across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a man from the town who had demons in him. For a long time, this man had gone without clothes and would not stay at home, but spent his time in the burial caves. When he saw Jesus, he gave a loud cry, threw himself down at his feet, and shouted, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me." He said this because Jesus had ordered the evil spirit to go out of him. Many times it had seized him, and even though he was kept a prisoner, his hands and feet fastened with chains, he would break the chains and be driven by the demon out into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Mob," he answered, because many demons had gone into him. The demons begged Jesus not to send them into the abyss. There was a large herd of pigs nearby, feeding on a hillside. So the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he let them. They went out of the man and into the pigs. The whole herd rushed down the side of the cliff into the lake and was drowned. The men who had been taking care of the pigs saw what had happened, so they ran off and spread the news in the town and among the farms. People went out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were all afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the man had been cured. Then all the people from that territory asked Jesus to go away, because they were terribly afraid. So Jesus got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus, "Let me go with you." But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Go back home and tell what God has done for you." The man went through the town, telling what Jesus had done for him.
So you might read that story, you might hear that story and think that's a sort of a miracle story. It's before that you get the stilling of the storm, and then you get this miracle story, and then you're going to go on to some other healing miracles. But the scholars would say that actually this story is the most contentious political action prior to Jesus going onto the journey into Jerusalem. And the reason it is because of the name of the demon, Legion. And the only other time that that word was used in and around the times was to refer to a company of Roman soldiers. It was a Roman garrison. They were a legion. Pigs were food for the Roman garrison. And the people looking after the pigs were more concerned about keeping up their income than they were about having anything to do with law that said you shouldn't be dealing with the flesh of swine. It's the man who is considered to be the man who they tried to chain up and keep safe because of his chains, who is the one who recognizes the truth. And that's outworked in what he wears. Galatians, you are clothed in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think it's a bit superficial. Because I live in a time where, you know, the problem is too much in the way of clothes. Clothes are cheap. You buy something from Primark, you wear it twice, you chuck it away. That's the time that I live in. So, clothed does not have a substantial teaching for me. But Jesus, of course, and the writer of Paul, the writer of Galatians, of course, live in different times. He said, "Who told you that you were naked?" In the Garden of Eden, the nakedness of Adam and Eve is easy. They're in God's company. It's all great. And then we have whatever we have going on with the apple and the sin arriving. And at that point, they're embarrassed. And so they rushed to cover their bodies. That covering up is a mark of their sin. Suddenly, they're aware that they've got nothing on, and it's all a bit embarrassing. In the graveyard, in the story with Jesus, the opposite is true. And in the time of Jesus, as in our times, if somebody walked in here naked, we would think, hello, you've got some stuff going on. We wouldn't think, oh, how marvelous and secure. We would just think, you are breaking the rules of convention in our society. However lovely your shape, that's what we would think. So for Legion, as we will call him, when he is set free, he suddenly realizes, holy schmoly, I've got nothing on, I want to get back into society, and at that point he puts on some clothes. So this is a passage that picks up themes that we in our times might not recognize, like the theme about the Garden of Eden or the theme about the pigs. What are those pigs doing there? So if you know nothing about anything, you know that Jews and Muslims don't have anything to do with pig flesh. It's just not, it's not good. So what are those people doing farming pigs? What's going on there? Those are not products for the children of Israel to consume. What is that about? It's about collaboration. It's about collaborating with the occupying powers. It's about saying, clear off, Jesus. We would rather stick with our money-making schemes than have to have anything to do with you and your transformational views. But the man in the graveyard is set free. Those rearing the pigs are not. Their demon is financial gain and collaboration. His, whatever it is gone. So the question for us is this. What are we possessed with? Really, naked, alone, what are the things that really drive the choices that we make? I would remind you of the story of an esteemed member of this church. Before my time, brothers and sisters, before my time, he used to say that what needs to happen on a Sunday morning is we should all come naked. Wasn't me, I didn't say it. That we should all come naked. And because we should come as we are. We come to worship God. We come naked, so we should represent it physically. Is my response to that. Don't know about you, but we should come as we are. And I've also got a wee postcard up on my shelves in response to some sort of pulpit madness from me that says, some members of your congregation feel constrained to wear swimsuits next Sunday to show their vulnerability. Would it be possible to ask Mervyn to turn up the heating? See that. But it is an interesting question, isn't it? What are you wearing and why? And not only physically, but also in terms of your armor. What are you wearing psychologically? What are you wearing and why? And what does your outside actually say about your inside? How do they relate to one another? And the question is, are you brave enough to allow yourself to be seen? So what do I mean when I talk about armor? Well, usually it's ways of behaving that once upon a time worked for us, and now they don't. And once upon a time, it was about in the hard knocks of growing up, we acquired some sort of behaviors, and then we just kept them going. And as time gets on, so these armors get heavier and heavier, and they stop us being seen, and they stop us being the people that we are, and we have to put a lot of energy into keeping on carrying these armor, whatever it is. Why don't we take it off? Why don't we put it down? Simple. We're not brave enough. We're used to carrying it. We'd have to put a lot of energy into looking at what it is, exploring it, and finding out ways to get rid of it. Jesus calls us to life in all its fullness. And we are not used to that. We are not used to vulnerable, and we're not used to naked. So my question for each of us is, as we were getting ready for church this morning, what bits of yourself did you think, I can't bring that? What bits of your personality, what bits of your life, your lifestyle, your hobbies, did you think, I can't take that there? Why not? Oh, armor, what does it look like? Well, it comes in all sorts of forms. It might be perfectionism. Might be numbing, overworking, drinking too much alcohol, eating too much food. It could be our masks. It could be cynicism. It could be not allowing ourselves to experience joy. Our armor will be different for whoever we are. But it's whatever we use to hide who we are. For some people, of course, it will be their clothes. And that's at both ends of the spectrum. Some people's clothes are the clothes that they are because they're really, really boring. Like this. Really, really boring. Actually picked because it's really, really boring. Deliberately chosen to be really, really boring. And some people spent hours and hours and hours getting themselves physically ready. Women and men nowadays to present themselves. So their clothes are incredibly, as whatever end it is, they're both armor. My parents used to be sailors, and they once had a guest on their boat, and this person, they never saw them without their full face, their full slap on, even if they met them at 5 o'clock in the morning. That is high commitment to your slap, isn't it? Yeah. And, you know, chatting about what we wear, what we carry as we come into worship is nothing compared with the weight of what we carry day by day. How we armor ourselves up and how we present ourselves, allowing, because it's just too scary and we're just too vulnerable and we can't bear to be psychologically naked. And the call is to clothe ourselves in Christ, to have confidence in his ability to be with us, to protect us. And that means as adults to accept in Jesus that there is something beautiful and magnificent that we can build our lives on. And have the confidence to allow ourselves to show up and be seen. Initially, in the Galatians passage, there was the law. There was a slave whose job it was to teach morality to the children. And as they grow up, they chose their life and they chose their clothes. As Christian people, it is the consequence of our baptism that we clothe ourselves in Christ. He is the clothing to our nakedness. The armor that we all choose to put on, we need to have a look at and ask Him to help us to be brave enough to take it off. Let us be silent together and then we will pray. Lord Jesus, help us to trust you. Lord, we pray. Amen. The hymn, Lord of Good Life. Join to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who have lost their way, those who become strangers to themselves and to others. Let's pray for those who have become estranged from their families and their communities. Let's pray for those who have never explored the depth of their faith and never seen the possibility of life in its fullness. And those who have become enmeshed and obsessed with church and churchiness. Let's pray for those who do not have anybody with whom they can be the person that they really are. Flawed, foolish, but trying. Let's pray for those that are lonely and those that are socially isolated. Let's pray for those who are vulnerable because of illness, are vulnerable because they are poor, vulnerable because of the aggression and violence of others. And this week we particularly hold up before you, Lord our God, the whole issue of domestic violence and violence against women. We pray for all people and all creation struggling to survive, struggling to find harmony, struggling to find hope. We pray for those situations that have nudged our conscience and called our heart through what we've seen in the printed media and on our screens. And we pray for ourselves. Be with us at those times when we feel we have nothing to put on except loneliness and disappointment, frustration and staleness, sadness and anger. And draw us back to you. That we would find new confidence, wear new colours, try new styles, and be most fully ourselves. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. God of the generations that have come before and have yet to arrive, you call new hearts into service every day. We offer our gifts to you. Remind us in our giving that you have placed a mantle on each of our shoulders that is the right size for us. Help us to take it up and respond to your call of faithfulness. We pray in the name of our Saviour, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So two reminders. One is for those of you who remember Jacob Bally, who grew up in this church, he's to be ordained, and we want to give him a gift. And if you've got your cash with you, Myrtle, hand in the air, please. Myrtle is the person to give the cash to, and I'm sure we can organise some bank transfer malarkey. That's that. And the other thing is, please remember to sign the three cards so that Trudy can take them with her when she goes to Korea, and give greetings to our brothers and sisters in Christ that she encounters along the way. Hurrah! Right, let's sing our final hymn, which is The Church is One Foundation. Thank you very much. Let's join to sing. Peace, to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love wherever they are. Amen.